Genesis chapter number 41. As we look here concerning Joseph in prison and finally being remembered there in chapter 40, what we looked at on Sunday afternoon, he interpreted the dreams for the baker and the butler of Pharaoh, and he asked the butler especially, he says, when you get restored and brought back to the king, would you remember me? Just to mention my name before Pharaoh. Well, I guess the butler was so happy that he got restored and put back in his position, he forgot Joseph. And you don't think that he would have forgot something that important, because it was Joseph that told him the dream, told him what his dream was about. But it tells us here in verse 1 of our text that it was 2 full years later before the cupbearer, the butler here, gets an opportunity to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. Now, so Joseph will spend 2 more years here in jail before he's remembered again. And Joseph being in trouble, in prison, if we would have been living in Joseph's day, most of us wouldn't have anything to do with Joseph. Joseph's a felon. He's a felon. We wouldn't want to be around him. But yet, the Lord had Joseph exactly where he wanted Joseph. And he worked Joseph's life to put him in these places that he might bring to pass the promise that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and continue those promises, or continue the fulfillment of those promises through this very life that Joseph was having to endure here. And so it's 2 full years, tells us in verse 1. Came past at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And we see Pharaoh actually has 2 dreams here. Verse 1 down through verse 4 is his first dream. Verse 5 through verse 7 is his second dream. Both of them are about the same event, but they're given to him in 2 different ways. That he might have, I guess, more of an impact on him. It says there in verse 2, behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fledged, and they fed in a meadow. So in his dream, 7 cows come up out of the water, and they're healthy cows. Why? I guess they were just out there swimming around or something, but they come up out of the water, these fat-fledged cows, and they go over and start picking grass like cows normally do. And behold, 7 others, some other time, he says in verse 3, came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other time upon the brink of the river. So 7 skinny cows came up and said they were ill-favored. So their starvation was evident on them as they come out. And then it says, verse 4, the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. So it's apparently a pretty vivid dream. It wasn't something that most of my dreams are silly. They don't make any sense. They don't have any any real congruency with them most of the time, and when I'm having those silly dreams, I'm usually talking in my sleep too, so I had to tell me what silly things I said when I wake up. And then, well, okay, that's not what I was dreaming. It just don't make any sense. So, but here, this was obviously a vivid dream that it awoke Pharaoh. It was an unusual thing, at least, to see these 7 skinny cows eat up the 7 fat cows in his dream. That's not what cows usually do. Cows eat grass. They don't eat each other. And so this awoke Pharaoh. And it says in verse 5, the second dream, he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. Now this, when we read corn in the scripture, you've got to remember that's wheat. It's not roasted ears like you and I think of. It's not It's not silver coin or peaches and cream or something like that. It's just wheat is what he's seeing here. And this wheat grew up and had seven heads of grain there, seven heads of wheat on each stalk there before him. And they were full ears. So there was much wheat on those ears of grain. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, rather stalked. Here, let me read that again. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It was vivid enough, there in verse number 7, it was vivid enough that he thought it was real. These things he was dreaming, and he had to wake up from a dream, a nightmare or something, had to pinch yourself, make sure, oh, that was just a bad dream, you know. This is Pharaoh. He woke up, oh, that was just a dream. That was just a dream. So obviously a very vivid dream. He's seen this. And it disturbed him greatly. It says verse 8, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So he sought an answer for it. He says, they spoke to the chief butler, finally. The chief butler remembered. Oh, I've been in this situation before. Saying, I can remember my faults this day. Oh, I've messed up this. I messed up. I made a promise 2 years ago, and I forgot. I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward, and the captain of the guardhouse, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams. Each man according to his dream, he did interpret, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto my office, and him he had. He said, just the very dreams we had, he gave us the interpretation of the dream, and just like he said, it came to pass. I was restored to my position as your cupbearer, chief baker, you hung him. And so he remembers at last and brings to Pharaoh's attention Joseph. And so it says, verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, thou canst understand the dream, can interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, now listen, this is what's remarkable about this young man. Of course, he's in captivity at the age of 17. He's sold into slavery. By this time, we find out that toward the end of this chapter, he's 30 years old here. But when these things are coming to pass, and so he'll be, by the time we get to the end of this chapter, be 13 years in captivity. And in all that he's endured so far, as he went, of course, sold into slavery by his brothers, he's put in Potiphar's house, he's falsely accused there, he's cast into prison, and he's been left there in prison, though in every case the Lord continually is blessing him. Though he's not in an ideal situation by no means that he finds himself in, but even in these situations that he's in, God is constantly blessing to the full on Joseph, so that even in Potiphar's house, he had absolute control, all of Potiphar's house. He brought to prison and placed there in prison because of that false accusation, and because they see in both those instances God's hand on Joseph, that everything he touched, the Lord was blessing. They would elevate him so that even in his prison here, Joseph is running the prison. The prisoner is running the prison. Because the Lord just simply blesses everything he does. And so, but in all that he's endured, in all that he's went through, seemingly forgotten by his family, sold into slavery, cast into prison, falsely accused, at every turn, when Joseph is given opportunity to speak, At every turn, Joseph praises the Lord. At every turn, he declares the God of heaven. At every turn, he declares, that's the one I'm going to serve. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm not going to sin against him. I'm not going to do this great evil. He's the one that works through me. And so here, likewise, as Pharaoh brings him there before him, and he says, I've heard that you can hear about a dream and tell what the interpretation of it is. And Joseph answers him there in verse 16, Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He says, it's not me. Hey, God's the one who gives the interpretation. And only God is the one that can give you that answer of peace. Only God can give you that answer of peace. So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat fleshed and well favored, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill favored and lean fleshed, excuse me, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And in verse 21, he gives us a little more information of what he saw, his perspective of the dream. And he says, and when they had eaten it up, it could not be known that they had eaten it. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. So the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and you couldn't even tell that they had eaten anything. They were still ill-favored. They were still sickly. So he goes on to say, verse 22, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up, and one stalk full and good, and behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them, and the 10 ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh was one. God said to Pharaoh what he was about to do. God showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Joseph had an immediate answer. He had an immediate answer from God and what Pharaoh's dream is. And he says that verse 26, the 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good years are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. This is going to be such a famine, he said, you wouldn't even remember the good days that you had before. It would devour everything what was previously good about the 7 previous years. And so he says, verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Not only does he have the interpretation of the dream, but he also has the direction from God on what Pharaoh should do. So not only does he have the interpretation, he's telling Pharaoh exactly what you need to do in this instance. God was going to make sure his people were provided for. And so he gives not only Pharaoh the dream, but he also gives him the plan to follow, to be sure that Israel was provided for through, that he would be provided for through Joseph. Now, why couldn't God just have given this dream to Jacob? Why wouldn't it have been enough to just give it to Jacob? And Jacob had these dreams, and Jacob collected the 7 good years, and he could have fed his family, and he could have preserved them in that way. Why was it that he chose to do it through Joseph. Why was it that he chose to do it for Joseph? Because Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's a picture of what God will provide for us in Christ, and it is only in Christ that we can receive that salvation. And so it's a picture to us of what Christ is going to do in the provision by God of salvation to all of his people. That they'll have to come to him and not simply get it themselves. Because, again, by the time you get to the New Testament, when Jesus comes on the scene, that's the very thing the Jews are doing at this point. They say they're still looking for Messiah, but in reality, they are so dependent upon the law, they're so dependent upon their heritage belonging to Abraham, the law given by Moses, that they are judging themselves righteous before God because of who they are in themselves. And so we don't need any provision from God. We're already here. We're the children of Abraham. We have the law of Moses, and we have it by birth. We have it because we keep the law. We're okay before God. We don't need anything else. And that's when Jesus would call them whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. We call them snakes. Because this is what they were teaching the people. We declared them to be self-righteous. And how awful that declaration from the Lord is to be called self-righteous. Because we only get our righteousness from Christ. It's the only place we can get it. And so what we are given here in Joseph's life is a picture of salvation that we have in Christ. So that God provided everything that Israel needed, but in order for them to get it, they had to go down and get it from Joseph. They could not get it themselves. They had to go get it from where God provided it. And God provided it in Christ. Here, he provides it in Joseph. And so they have to go down to Joseph to receive this physical salvation. So that one day Christ would come from that very family to give us eternal, spiritual salvation. And so, we see here as Joseph is given the plan, he declares it to Pharaoh there, verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look at a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. So he's going to collect. For the 7 good years, they're going to collect the fifth part of all the grain harvest, of all the wheat harvest in Egypt. They're going to take a fifth of that and put it in store. And so they're going to have to build storage places, and they're going to put this in store so that when the 7 years famine comes on, and comes in full force, they'll be able then to feed the people. Not only the people of Egypt, but literally the people of the whole region would come and buy corn from Egypt because of this plan that God has given them to perform. And so they have to, for the 7 good years, each year, each harvest, they take a fifth of that harvest and set it aside. And they eat for each year, they set that fifth aside and put it in store for the 7 lean years that was coming. And so it says there in verse number 36, and that food shall be for stores of the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Not only did Potiphar see that in Joseph, not only did the keeper of the prison see that in Joseph, The Pharaoh, king of Egypt, saw that in Joseph as well. The Spirit of God is in that man. God blesses everything that man touches. And they put their absolute dependence in each time. Potiphar gave him the rule of his house. The jailer gave him the rule of the prison. Pharaoh gives him the rule of all of Egypt. That's his second in command here. He says, who else are we going to find that's as wise as this man? Who else are we going to find that has the Spirit of God on him? The wisdom doesn't come. Wisdom doesn't come by philosophy. Wisdom doesn't come by education. Wisdom doesn't come by even life experience. Wisdom comes by the fear of the Lord. In fact, he tells us that's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. That's where it begins. That's where it starts. That's where we are given that ability to have any wisdom at all. It comes from the Lord. And so it is evident in Joseph that wisdom of God is on him. And so he says, verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to my word shall all my people be ruled, only in the throne will I be greater than you, or than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they bowed before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. He's given Joseph absolute control of the land. Only Pharaoh is higher than Joseph in the land of Egypt. Now, it tells us in verse 45, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, which is a Coptic word. That's an ancient group that lived there in Egypt, and it means revealer of secret things. Revealer of secret things. And he gives him a bride, Asenath. Then he into wife Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. They gathered so much, God blessed so much in the abundance of those seven first years, that they couldn't even number the amount of corn they were bringing in and putting in the store for those seven lean years. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, it says. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine. Before the years of famine was Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And his name means exactly what the scripture tells us here. For God said, he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So that's what Manasseh means, to forget or to make to forget. Ephraim is the second son, verse 52. Ephraim means because God had blessed him in his afflictions, or fruitful is what Ephraim means, because God's blessing on him. And so it says there, the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. There was bread. So all around them, this starvation set in. This famine took hold. But Egypt was flooded with bread. They had all sorts to eat. But they did not release it immediately. They had this strategically planned. They were going to wait until everybody absolutely run out before they would open the storehouses there in Egypt. And it says there in verse 55, when all the land of Egypt was famished, they waited until they got hungry before they would open the storehouse. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Go to Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold them to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because of the famine was so sore in all lands. And so the people are provided for through Joseph. God has worked this work that he's going to bring to pass, provision for Joseph's family, for Jacob and his brethren, and all of Israel will be fed by Joseph. And we're going to see here in the next few chapters as Joseph works this out with his brothers to eventually reveal himself to his brothers. But some of the things he's going to, some of the tests, you might say, that he's going to put them through to see if they're the same men that had 13 years ago sold him into slavery. We'll see. Well, now it's a few years more. It's 37. He's 37 years old in the time of the famine when it begins. So he's been in captivity a little bit longer. So these being 20 years ago that sold him into slavery, we'll see if these guys are the same men they were then as they were then. And so he's got some tests in store for them as his brethren come down to meet with him. But the Lord has provided, and he will continue to provide for his people. He will assure that we have what we have need of in him. And it is only as he provided in Joseph for the people's physical needs, so he has provided for us in Christ that salvation that can only come from Christ Jesus. We must have Christ. He is the only way. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot receive it ourselves. We cannot drum it up in us. We can't fan a little spark of divinity in us. We must have Christ. We must come to him, because he is the only way that we can receive that salvation that is provided by God for us. Let's go to him in a word of prayer now. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. We thank you that you've allowed us again this opportunity to come into your house. We pray, Father, that you'd help us now. We look for this time of business this evening, that you help us to do all